This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Diamonds on my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of slime. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of prime. Pockets running over with the dollar sign. Try to take it from me.
Welcome to episode 306 of Fourth and John. I'm Gale Saunders here with Mr. Primo and Mr. Damn Skippy in the building. We're talking episode 306, Eagles versus Jaguars recap. If you haven't noticed, it's still raining outside. This last game, I can't even lie to you. As a guy who's been to a lot of Eagles games and done a lot of tailgates, this is probably the most wet we've been at tailgates. Freezing cold. Some people look like chihuahuas out there. We were at the stadium, me and Evan. I'm not gonna even lie, we're like, if they score two touchdowns here, we're gonna leave at halftime.
So, were you guys envious of me being able to go outside and then come back inside and then go back outside?
That was
a large grill outside. There was grilling dogs, burgers, cheesesteaks.
No, not at all.
Chicken.
Not at all.
They had not a big all. Ass spread of pasta, and then he had cooked me some bacon. I know we manned it up.
So I felt you know good when about I manned ourselves.
It up? You know when I manned it up? Well, I manned it up when I went in. I had to go inside to use the restroom. That's when I manned it up.
There you go. Put you in the bathroom now. So just overall, just thinking about the way that the day was set up. Shout out to all you Eagle fans that showed up to the tailgate and suffered with us. I mean, it was a good time overall.
Wait a minute, hold on. We won the game. You weren't suffering that bad.
No, I'm talking about outside in the water, bro.
In the elements. Just think if you had to play in that.
Well, let me finish here. Let me finish.
Okay. My bad. Deepest apologies.
So I'm just saying all the fans that suffered outside in the weather conditions. But just thinking about this Eagles team, they have showed you week in and week out that they've found different ways to win. Whether it's or different players who've come up and stepped up and come up big in games to get these W's, whether it's a Jalen, whether it's Devontae Smith, whether it's A.J. Brown, whether it's Dallas Goedert consistently getting work on these screens, whether it's, if you can
Booby.
Go across the line, Brandon Graham, you can go Booby. Fletcher Cox.
You want to win, put Booby in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just talking about, like, there's so many players that have come up and come up big in big games. Just mentioned Booby, man. He's had a career game. A lot of Eagle fans, I'm not going to say us, but I'm just saying there's been a lot of Eagle fans who question Miles Sanders. He showed up big. And talking about the weather that was such, it was raining all day. It's still raining. It's like 3 days of raining. I haven't seen this much rain since Noah Ark. But I know, Prime. You were lucky to go home after the tailgate. I was a little jealous when I heard you were going home.
Yeah, man. Look, you pretty much explained everything correctly. I mean, it was a crazy ass day. But you know, at the end of the day, we came together as a team and we put it together. I mean, Hollis, man, kiss my ass with your going back.
Sorry, that was my evil laugh.
I mean, we were the real ones because we stood out there and, you know, I mean, we entertained the people. Shout out to those that joined us. I mean, it was another, great tailgate that was put together and you know, everybody made it happen. And if it wasn't for them, you know, none of this would be possible. Yes, it was cold as shit. I mean, my ass came out of my house with shorts.
With shorts on?
Yeah,
dude, I had on a jacket.
I
sweat like R. Kelly at a Girl Scout meeting. I had on a jacket.
My day was crazy. Coming out of that building with some shorts on. It was hot when I walked out of my house, and I'm like, okay, it's gonna be a pretty decent day. I get the Walt Whitman, and it started coming down a little bit. I wasn't thinking nothing of it. I get to the spot. I was the first one there. I thought Gail was gonna beat me there, but I actually beat him there. Started setting up, and then I took a ride to go check on E-Rock and his family. You know what I mean? Just something I traditionally do. And then as I'm riding back, oh, man, this rain came down. And that was it. It was a wrap. The guys got there, and you know what I mean? Hey, look, the rest of the time, it was just coming down, man. And, me being in shorts definitely did not help the situation. Everybody kept on asking me, are you going into the game? And, man, this is the first time. Like Gail had mentioned, man, I mean, we've been to many games, but this is the first time I was actually happy to say, no, I'm not going to the game. I'm not going to the game. I'm going to get my ass back in this truck, and I'm going to go back over the bridge, and I'm going to go cuddle up. And, I mean, I'm looking at some of the comments. Yes, I was under the blankets, man. I ended up sending a picture to the guys as they were in that stadium freezing their asses off. And I'm cuddled up, and I was enjoying it, man. I was nice and warm after that because, man, that weather kicked our ass bad. Yeah.
Well, you know, I weathered the element a little bit. Was at the gatehouse with Philly Sports Trips. Half of it was outside because, you know, they was cooking outside and stuff. So they had the cover part outside, but they had heaters there. So I started sweating. So, you know, I had on my jacket and stuff, and had on my little fedora, and I had on my Eagles thermal. And, so once I got me a full meal deal, I went to the inside where they was playing some football style music. You saw the post with the Jamborees and the Eagles fight song and stuff. Everybody's all festive and stuff. And a lot of those people actually, they walked to the game and still went in. Most of the people that was at the tailgate, they went in. And it's kind of like one of those things where somebody's like, are you going to the game? I was like, no, I'm going to see my buddy PJ at Dolan's. But we over there was cool because you had to go outside to smoke cigars and cigarettes, but we still didn't have to relish in the elements. So I commend Gail and you guys for being out there. I saw you guys on TV. You guys look cold as hell. As soon as I ordered another order of onion rings, they were delicious.
Shout out to the people that are joining in the chat. Rack Shack, yes, with a comment here. Really love the way the team battled the weather and adversity. Finding different ways to win is what separates great teams from good teams. Now, Big Tank, do you think, yes, this is the adversity that they saw this week? Do you think this is the biggest test they've had so far?
Well, yeah, it's one of the biggest sets because we had to come from behind. We were talking about this, and I think it came up in one of our conversations about we've been ahead every time we've been kicking people ass like right off the rip, and so we haven't had to do anything in the second half. I felt like this was like one of those kind of like a tripwire game where you could actually look past them because you wanted to play Arizona, and because everybody's going to be trying to pick Arizona due to Kyler Murray, blah blah blah, and all that stuff. I was like, it was a bit of a trip game. But I don't think the guys took it as that. They came out and they faltered a little bit early, but we see how they band together and put some things together, both offensively and defensively. I still haven't seen my special teams yet, but we need to have a complete game, the special teams have got to come on with the come on. But I saw it was one of those games where we threw a pick six, actually. Then we came back and they scored on us again, and we were down 14-0. So, you know, everything. Then we start losing guys. You saw loss of guys to some shoulder injuries and stuff, and the guys behind them stepped up and was ready to play. That's the part that I loved and enjoyed, especially about the squad. You couldn't do nothing but relish in it. As we was coming back, you could do nothing but relish in it. Now there was a few jackasses that was in the bar that I was at. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? I was like, it's only the first quarter. It's the first half. Come on, man, have some faith. Santa Slay needs to move, damn it. So you better be singing and singing loud. I don't want to hear anybody lip sync. I don't want to see anybody lip syncing or mumbling. Santa Slay needs to move. So you have to sing, Prime, no lip syncing. You have to sing and sing loud so they can hear you. So I commend you guys for kind of wheeled them back in. It was great, dude. If you put it this way, when I had a game out there, I knew I couldn't come back to the side of a game out there in this type of element, and my parents was out there. If I play like crap, dude, you know what type of tongue lashes and ass whooping I probably get when I got back. So you better win, especially at home. But yeah, it's, you know,
definitely a tough mutter. I first want to give hat tip to Jeff Stoutland, man. This dude Stout is guy. This is a guy who week in and week out he gets his guys ready to go. Them hogs up front, whether it's your first stringer, your second stringer, your third stringer, you got guys coming in off the bench cold and really giving you some valuable snaps. You know, what were your thoughts about the guys coming off the bench? You know, Sue Opetta.
You had Josiah Scott. You had Driscoll coming off, yep. You know, stepping in. And they did their thing, man. I mean, just going back to the very beginning, I mean, shout out to the team in general, the way they played in the game. I mean, Hollis, you brought up a good point in the very beginning of the show. We're not, you know, I never played football. I wish I did. I know Gail's played football, and we know Big Tank's played football. So, I mean, for you guys, you know, for those players to play in that weather condition and they, you know, I mean, do what they did, I mean, it took a lot. I mean, we were down 14, nothing. I mean, you had a lot of people, a lot of the haters reaching out, especially to me at 14, nothing, you know what I mean, that we've been exposed. We ain't who we thought they thought we were.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean, now we know who we really are and this and that. And all I said was, look, that's good. I'm glad you're feeling that way. Make sure you have that same energy when that clock hits zero. All right. Make sure you have that same energy. And of course, when it was that time, nobody was nowhere to be found.
Nobody was anywhere to be found, Prime.
All
you heard was crickets, man.
That's it. And look, I mean, look, at the end of the day, these guys came together. And Gail, it's the truth, bro. People that stepped in and came and played their part, they did their thing, man. And so it was a awakening for us fans, you know what I mean? Because like you guys had mentioned earlier, we've been accustomed to beating people's asses from the get-go, and here we were down. So the way they fought to come from behind and take the lead and then just keep on putting their foot on the gas pedal was, you know, something that we needed to see, especially what we're about to go to right now. You know what I mean? Us fans about to get in this plane in a couple of days and go to Arizona. I mean, like, yo, we needed that shit. So I'm amped just seeing that defense come together and come back and take over that game. Yo,
you know what impressed me the most was the poise of our quarterback. If you notice, he didn't get flustered. You didn't see him on the sideline yelling at anybody, cursing or nothing. It's like when you see most of the time when you see a quarterback go down 14 to nothing, and the way we started off, you see him having a fucking hissy fit on the sideline. The big thing was, and I loved Reddick's what he said. They were talking about something. Do you think the weather had anything to do? Well, we slanted the rain too, weren't we? It's like you're not gonna use no weather as no excuse for their shortcomings. And I'm glad he said that to put them on notice. It's like everybody's playing in the same element. Like all those punk motherfuckers that be talking that crap about when somebody when you beat a team that they think you're not supposed to beat. It's like did you guys win or did they beat themselves? I don't know if he was watching the game. We took advantage of the mistakes those bums made and we kicked their ass.
That's it.
Now why are we talking about the loser? Why are you talking about the loser? Right. I get sick and tired of that. They do that all the time. Did they lose the game or did they got beat? If they could have won, they would have. So it would have been a different narrative. Cut that crap out.
Now if you go back and watch the film on those plays by Reddick, man, those are strictly, you know, he has his hands honed on the ball. He knows exactly what he's going to do, you know, strip of the ball and come away with these takeaways and the way that they close the game out. You know what I'm saying? Like close out on a defensive play.
Oh, yeah.
Before that, shout out again, you know, Darius Slay in the locker room had mentioned, he's like, you know, asking the real question. How did the Giants let this man get away? Because Bradberry coming up with these picks, man.
Oh,
talking to Brandon Graham at the Trent Cole camp, that was the one thing he mentioned at first. He said Bradberry has picked up this defense so fast. He's playing fast out there. And again, this is showing up in games. Yeah. And he took you know, Trevor Lawrence to work.
Trevor Lawrence, yeah. Dirty Jesus.
Dirty Jesus.
I thought we were starting with trust.
They look like Peyton Manning and Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh God! Or Miss Man from Scary Movies.
All right. So what's your biggest takeaway from the Eagles win?
My biggest takeaway is we're gonna put some pressure on the quarterbacks now. Between that now if we can continue what he's doing, because I see the process going with Jonathan Gannon now. He's starting to utilize the guys better. Because at first, remember the Minnesota game? We had Reddick dropping, trying to cover Irv Smith. That's a mismatch all day long. It's like, so to me, he's starting to get this. And the other part is, I hope this is a step in the right direction for Miles Sanders. Because I, as you know, last week, you was with a problem when I picked him as the offensive MVP. Hey. Well, actually, he can't remember, because his glitch was in the office and he was glitched all up. But my biggest segue is Jonathan Gannon really starting to utilize the defense the way that it should be used. So that was my biggest takeaway.
That's when Tank is giving love to Gannon.
Exactly, man. And you know what? I'm going to follow up with it, because it's the truth, man. He's only getting better as the weeks go on. He's finally putting this defense together and putting people in the right places, man. And then again, somebody goes down, you got the right person that's going to come in and pick up where that person left off. I mean, there was a couple plays like in the very beginning, you know what I mean, when he had Kayvon in there. Kayvon definitely wasn't playing his route the correct way. So it was just like, all right, I got their PT. That's it. Mm-hmm. Get the hell out. Let's go ahead and get the ball people up in there. And that's what he did. You know what I mean? So he made some arrangements. Yep. And that was the thing. That was the attitude, at least I had. You know what I mean? Seeing that we were down 14-0, all I kept on saying to myself, my wife is my witness, man. I'm just screaming out loud. And I'm like, look, calm the fuck down. We're going to get this shit together. Let's go ahead and regroup. And you know what I mean? Let's come to our senses. And that's exactly what Jonathan Gannon did, man. So it was good to see. It was good that they came back from adversity and took over that game, man. So I'm really happy on how things are starting to come together with that defense.
Now, Jeremy, in the comments, he says, it was tough to see us go down 14-0, but this team has a lot of grit. I knew they were going to go down without – they weren't going to go out down without a fight. This is a totally different team than we never had. And I went back and looked at the comment of Miles Sanders in the offseason. Mm-hmm. When he talked about this team being – to him, was an all-star team. And as you keep going across the roster and you start looking at the players and in the comments of like Slay, there's no Robins, just all Batmans. It's very tough to find players. It's, you know, some, you know, that are role players. They're all successfully really good players, I think, across the board. Just having this type of unit together, they're playing well, man.
Yeah, but to piggyback off what you said, we have what is known as quality depth, and that's what good teams have. We have quality depth. You can't make a mistake in front of that person, or else you have to be sitting on the bench waiting on your turn to get back in. When you have that type of depth, everybody wants to play hard, fast, and make plays, because if you don't, you're not going to get that much playing time. So I love the quality depth thing, and we need to keep it rolling, because I think I saw a post, I want to say you did it, about having right now we're in position to have the third overall pick, and it's a little early to be thinking about next year, but we'd be $39 million under the cap. And look at what we got. Look at what we got so far. The competition at position does nothing but make our squad better. And that's what I call quality depth. And just like we were talking about Stoutland, he always has the young guys ready to come in and play. And it's like initially when at first I would always be like, damn, somebody went down. Damn, somebody went down. Now when somebody go down, I was like, don't worry. Stop, guys.
No worries.
Ready.
Exactly. No worries at all.
Now, I got a stat here. Shout out to Shane Half. If you want to check him out on Twitter, he's got a lot of great content. But he tweeted out, down two offensive linemen, the Eagles only allowed pressures on 26% of Jalen Hurts' dropbacks. The three remaining starters, Kelce, Dickerson, and Johnson, combined to allow zero sacks, zero pressure, and zero QB hits against a defensive line that we were told was
had seven sacks and was extremely formidable. The funniest thing though is the way Lane Johnson welcomed number 44, the first overall pick, to the NFL. It was quite a brutal day for the young guy. And it was one of those where, like, welcome to the NFL, pal. It was just great to see him have that type of day. And the guys protect Jalen, and I think if we truly want to galvanize this game, that play, I don't know what down it was, but the play in the red zone where Jalen Hurts ran in and ran over their linebacker and stuck the ball out with the ball in control as touchdown, that right there lets you know what type of team we got going.
You started right talking there. making a you know, like some players make business decisions. This is where Jalen Hurts does Jalen Hurts things. And there's another Ruben Frank had a set article out there.
He pissed me off.
We had this this note here said Eagles have the most points in any quarter by any team in NFL history through four games. The Eagles have scored 24, 17, 24, and 20 points in the second quarter this year, and that's 14 more points than any team has ever scored in any quarter in its first four games. Yeah. You know, you start looking at some of these numbers, and you're just like, all right, the Eagles are doing some wild things, and you really have to – you just have to hat tip this. I think, like, this comment by Further AM right here says, what's crazy is the Eagles aren't even 100% efficient yet on both offense and defense. They're not playing their best ball yet.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen reminds us that every week after his, you know, after the win, he'll go into that locker room and he'll let the guys know, man, we still left a lot of shit out on the table. So there's still a lot of us to go ahead and actually show. And, man, just hearing that every week, it's like, I mean, that right there just gets your adrenaline going, bro. Like, yo, for real, like, I mean, you still got a lot. Hey, listen, I'm looking forward to seeing it all because, man, the excitement with the way these guys are playing is just like, it's just crazy. There's just no worries at all, man. And I'm like really super excited. Like, besides, you know, us winning the Super Bowl back in 17, like, bro, this team has kind of like right now is just like overstepping that. Like the way they're coming together, man, like it's no joke. So I'm not worried about nobody. Like, and I haven't felt this confident in a minute, bro.
Whoa, he said nobody.
Well, no, I said any you correct on Prime. I'm not worried about anybody either, especially you got the big dogs up front leading the way on both sides of the ball. Will you couple that with the skill position guys we got, and plus the general that's quarterback and everything, man, you got leading the full scale assault, and then you deploy. Our Achilles heel for the past few years have been linebacker, but our linebacker core is young and they know what's about. You got a couple of cover guys now that handle business, and then everybody was worried about the safety. Epps is handling business, and CJ is back to handling business. Only one I'm still worried about is Kevon Wallace. It's like, cause he keeps getting ceremonial playing time, and he be fucking up the coverage. I was like, dude, sit his ass down.
I'm with you, bro.
It was one play. Him and Josiah. It's like you're the safety. Josiah is the corner. Yeah. You're the safety. it's one of the things where I think, you know, besides the Phillies going to the playoffs now, everything is starting to look good. Together. It's like, the last time the Phillies was in the playoffs was in 2011. It's like, dude, everything is starting to look up. Things are starting to look a little bit better now.
I'm shouting out my brother and my father who watched every single game, every single Phillies game, and they sit there, even though when they lose, they watch to the very end. It's their thing, so shout out to those guys. And shout out to the Phillies, man, for doing their thing. I saw this guy tweeted out. He said, my daughter, who's 6.5 months old, has seen some amazing things. The Eagles have not lost yet. He said the Phillies are going to the playoffs. He said she didn't see Ben Simmons play. And he's like, who cares about the Flyers? So I think the kid's living the dream right now. Talk about living the dream. We're going to be living in the dream up with Philly sports trips. We're going to be out in Arizona, the ultimate tailgate out there, and we're going to have there's a lot going on this week. It's five days of fun. I wore this shirt that I'm wearing. Shout out to Tim Kincaid, little squad up. I don't know if you can see it. It's got a Seth Joyner on there.
Eric Will, Jordan, Clyde Simmons.
Who will be doing a show with Hollis? Tell us about that show you're doing.
You want me to tell you about the show? I'm just supposed to show up and look pretty. That's okay. About it. I did a show with him. I think we were supposed to do the Fanatic show. But okay. It's pretty much, it's kind of like a pep rally with the fans. I've been to the bar before. It's a great bar.
Your hair did?
Probably not. I'm probably gonna have my give me another one of my straw hats. I shaved already. I might get some sun on my head and that tender. You know, that's a 2.5 acre water park.
What?
And a 3-story at where we stand.
Oh, where we staying at? Oh,
yeah. And a 3-story water slide.
Hey. Okay. All right.
So you're doing it? I know we were trying to go down a slide in Detroit, but maybe
no. This is a real water slide. This is.
I don't know if back, yo. I'm not. Is, I don't know if
this
I'm ready.
Is back by the FCC. They wanted Detroit. That was some experimental type crap. I saw it online. I was like, oh hell no! You see the one dude? He comes down and he comes off the hump. He goes up in the air. It just lands. Yeah. And he just gets up like, oh god.
I'm good.
Now, Deshae in the comments here, he says, you know, we're going to talk about winning the East. If you watch Steichen's comments about if you want to be a great football team, you got to win your division. Deshae says here, Sunday's game just reinforced me that we're sweeping the Cowboys this year. They don't got enough bullets. How you guys feel about how we match up to the Cowboys? Because we know there's a lot of Cowboy haters, Prime's brothers probably somewhere lurking.
I mean, look, you got to take 1 week at a time, man. Right now, our focus is on Arizona.
Oh, I like that, Coach Prime. You
know what I mean, we got to definitely do that. I mean, everybody knows how I feel about the Cowboys, but I'm not focused on the Cowboys right now. Yeah. I want to get to Arizona, you know what I mean? Because I'm not going to go ahead and sleep on Kyle Murray and that team. And then they got one of our boys, you know, Zach Ertz. It's going to be nice to see him. But at the end of the day, you know what I mean? You're on the opposing team now. But, like, hey, look. That's what we got to focus on, you know what I mean? So the whole thing about Cowboys, we'll get back to that on the next show. Right now, I mean, it's kind of hard to even speak on it. Yeah, they look sloppy. A lot of these teams in the NFL right now look sloppy, and especially in our division. But I'm going to stick to what I just said. I'm going to take one game at a time.
Yeah, I'm gonna take one game at a time, too. But I'm tired of talking about overrated losers. Quit bringing the fucking Cowboys up. Win some motherfucking games. Get the fuck out of here. They're on every social outlet. And everybody calling us haters. We're tired of looking at you bitches without winning a title. You don't even go to the playoffs. You go to the playoffs and shit down your legs.
There ain't no reason, man. But they always got a lot of reason.
And this is the other part too. I was like, I don't like the Cowboys, but they've had the team to actually win a bunch of games and win a bunch of playoff games. But their coaching sucks ass to no ends. They're running the ball right now, and I guarantee you, soon as Dak gets back. They're going to throw the ball 60 times. That's the only reason they're winning is because they're running the ball. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you don't run the ball in this league, you're not going to win. But as soon as Dak gets back, that's their $40 million a year quarterback. They're going to throw the ball 50 or 60 times and run themselves up out of the building. So, and then everybody's like, oh, the Cowboys, man, fuck them. We have Arizona Cardinals up next.
Yeah, I like that. Now, RJ, shout out to my old college teammate in the chat. He says, injuries and next man up and fall back after a big punch after 14-0. Very exciting team. You know, bringing up the injuries because that's part of football. Like, as much as people want to, it's what happens. So talk about losing your left tackle who had a shoulder injury. You're talking about losing your starting cornerback in all-world Slay. Talk about losing Suamalu down with an ankle injury.
Yeah, that wasn't really allowed, though. Continue, though.
And then Jake Elliott hurting his leg. I believe it was an ankle.
You saw the play, right?
Yeah.
Roughing the kicker.
So I feel like, you know, at the end of the game, there's a moment where you could kick the field goal to win the game. They decided to not go that route. But, you know, injuries are injuries. We just signed a new kicker. Let me not butcher his name. I just posted our socials. But his name is Cameron Dicker. So we have a lot of questions.
What?
Cameron Dicker?
Dicker?
Dicker. We got a Dickerson. We have a Dicker.
We got a Dicker for a kicker.
Oh, we got a Fletcher Cox. We have a lot of content for meme creators out there. So, I mean, with that being said about the injuries, you know, a lot of those guys have a chance to play. while some of us were very concerned, shout out to Mrs. Slay. I said, "Is Darius okay?" I don't want to like cross barriers when you and you're just like,
yeah,
hey,
you don't, yeah, because you don't want to put them in a predicament where they're answering questions from the NFL because they gave you pregame tips.
I didn't hear anything. So, but everyone looks like they should be playing this week.
Oh, that's good.
Well, on top of that, I mean, it's a different atmosphere, different weather, so we should be fine. We should be fine.
Yeah, they have a chance to play. That's pretty. That was reported.
The weather. It'll be like the other thing about the weather too is I don't know if you guys paid attention to the games that were down in Miami. How they kept winning. Miami was winning because they had those home games. And it was 100 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah. And then once they got into that cold, it was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Because the funniest thing was watching Josh Allen throw that last pass to try to win the game. How he skipped. He's like, yeah. He looked like Montgomery Burns trying to swing on Smithers.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Now, Trevor Harris in the comments, shout out to Trev. He says, Hollis, what is it going to take for the Eagles to win this game Sunday? It's been 21 years since the Eagles won in the state of Arizona.
It has been?
Yeah, man. Last time they won was 2001.
Oh, yeah. I was on that team. It's probably going to take us to get start fast, strong, and finish strong because you know, Kyler Murray he will bring you back with his legs and stuff. And you just got to corral that kid. And don't let them get off running because if they get off running as well, then you're just pretty much just going to be pissed in the wind. The one thing that I do like is we've been making teams one dimensional. And when you make a team one dimensional, you pretty much know what they're doing and you can dictate to them. Offensively, I think we got to run the ball down their throat. Run the ball down their throat, kind of keep the ball away from a Kyler Murray so they're not. See, if you keep that offense off the field, and you score, you're scoring, and keeping the offense off the field. They're not able to get into any type of rhythm. So when they get out there, it's a quick three and out. But then your offense comes out there and puts a 5, 6, 7 play drive together, get a couple of big plays here and there, and just pretty much try to dominate. But you got to get them off. I say the first thing that we have to do offensively is get them off balance, so we could do whatever we want. We can dictate to them. We got to have the running has to be going in order for us to do play action to make sure that we get Buda Baker sniffing around in the backfield. Get him sniffing around in the backfield, and then we hit him over the top, hit their corners with some double moves and stuff. They're going to be aggressive, and they're going to send multiple fronts at us. So it should be a great game. I think this is one of those good tests because, you know, last year they were 9-0 before they lost the game and then snuck it to the playoffs. But it was like if they were doing great, and I don't know if what you call is coming back. DeAndre Hopkins, is he coming back?
No, this game. Not for this game. No.
Okay, good. He's a nightmare. But they because they lost Kirkland, they still have AJ and Zach Ertz, and they got a couple other guys. But I think it's gonna be a formidable matchup. But I hope we don't let Kyler Murray stand back there and pick us apart. Jonathan Gannon, please, 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 please don't make me regret giving you props.
Hey, man, I like when you said that the Eagles have been making teams one-dimensional. It's true. They're shutting down run games, man. It's been like so enjoyable to watch defense. Like to me, if anyone who's been listening, that's the one thing I had mentioned. I said, this is what I want. I want a solid defense. This defense is now giving this offense more opportunities. You listen to guys like Fletcher Cox. He mentioned that last year we didn't do our job and the fact that we weren't getting the ball back for our offense. This year they're doing that, man. That's just another added element to this defense. And then you look at guys like Jordan Davis, who's coming off the bench. Did you see, like, he was throwing dudes at the club and
was he?
And hustling. There was a play. There was a sweep out to the left, and this dude made a tackle probably like 16, 17 yards downfield.
Yeah, I like to see that in a young guy, especially the one thing I think that we miss when we come from from college is not running from sideline to sideline. Some of the guys don't run from sideline to sideline, and oftentimes just standing watching the ball like a fucking spectator. I used to hate that shit because you're making all of us look bad. Because the first thing I do is like, get your fat ass down the field. Like, really? You had to make him use fat, huh?
So I'm glad we don't got that problem, man, because he's been doing his thing. And especially on that run defense, he's been shutting it down. I mean, he had some key plays that day.
Yeah. And it was the other part too, Prime, is him doing that is making the older guys take notice and start doing the same
Absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely. You're right. You're right about that.
Occasionally Fletcher was last year was he was just chilling.
Yeah, man. You didn't see that you definitely didn't even see that out of Fletch. You saw more out of Fletch on Sunday, you know what I mean, seeing that young boy doing his thing. So you're right. I mean, it's something to feed off of, and I like it. I like the fact that they're playing side by side and they can feed off of each other.
Yeah, because that way they can double team both of them.
Exactly.
Now talking about this defensive front while we're here, the Eagles have four players with at least 2.5 sacks. They have Hassan has 3.5, Fletcher has 3, Brandon Graham has 3, and Josh Sweat has 2.5. Last season they only had players that had 2.5 sacks the entire 2021 season was Devon Hargrave was 7.5, Sweat had 7.5, and Cox had 3.5. So I think it's everybody eat.
I think another thing too is he's starting to delve deeper into his defense and get the guys on the move a little bit. Last time everybody always knew where our defensive line was going to be and where they were going to go. It's like they was going to line up in the gap that they were going to, and I think that right there dictated what a lot of offenses were able to do to us and were able to pretty much hold us back as far as creating havoc in the backfield. When you put the other team on notice and move the guys around, whether it's slanting, whether it's looping, whether it's running an upfront stunt or running a blitz or something off the edge, or whether it's a blitz or a zone pressure, then it puts them on notice and it puts the offensive line, they don't have a comfortable game. It's like, what are you going to do next? Oh, what are you going to do next? And so it puts them on edge a little bit. That's where you get the false starts, the illegal motions, or they jump the ball, or the holding. So I'm just looking forward to seeing what else. Even though I know this is mostly Vic Fangio's doing. Even though I know it's mostly his doing, it is what it is. You know.
Now Jason in the comments says, "Where's Evan? Is he checking on medicals?" Shout out to Evan. It's his birthday. Yesterday was his birthday. So
happy birthday, Ev. Love.
Ups, big ups.
And
where the fuck he at?
He's working today.
He's celebrating his birthday.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know, he's doing birthday things.
You got a hooker? What, I mean, what? Is it a secret? But
put him in put him in the bathroom, man.
Please put deep his apologies.
Put him in the bathroom.
What is too soon?
Yeah, too soon.
yeah, man.
Let's see. So talking about
let's change the subject.
Talking about this. I mean, it's. I feel like people don't spend enough time talking about the game. They want to get on to the next one. I feel like you just got to appreciate what the Eagles have done over the last couple of games. There's just amazing things they've been doing. Talking about A.J. Brown, who really hasn't made any mistakes except for not trying to tackle that dude.
That was kind of probably one of those ones where if he'd have stretched out, he probably would look like the dude. I don't know if you saw the game.
Yeah. I remember where he ended up flying. Yeah, and there was nowhere near. Yeah, I mean, it's the truth, though. Like, all right, I mean, like, everybody's going to go ahead and have that one play. And there was AJ's. Like, all right, let it go. Put it under the rug. Let's move on. It is what it is. We got the victory and everything. But, like, everybody's, like, big on this because the fact that he didn't tackle. Like, I mean, come on, man. Like,
I don't want to get him hurt, but I'm sorry.
I know. But the one thing that pissed me off was after the game, you still had Jalen Hurts haters. And Ruben Franks was one of them with his big goofy ass. But I was like, what are you coming from? They haven't played anybody. We haven't won. Like, we haven't won. We won four games. We beat the motherfuckers that were put in front of us. As I got, I hate it, and it's like, yeah, that Ruben Franks was everybody on that show. I'm not even gonna give them the respect of mentioning the name of the show. But whatever post game show he's on, him and what's the other boy's name? He's an old guy too. Ron Jaworski. All of those guys, they're not giving my boy is just dessert. He's continuing to get better. But they say, well, he still needs it. You need to just enjoy the fucking ride. And we don't need constant critics. He's his biggest critic himself. The part that continues to piss me off is that they always have something negative to say, like a negative Nancy. It's like, come on, dude. Really? Even the game, he was 80% passing. Oh, well, his accuracy is still in question. Are you fucking kidding me? 80%? Really? But you know, it's okay. It's okay.
Now, you know, talking about some rare stats as we talk about Jalen Hurts, the second quarter touchdown that he had that gives him 17 in his career. And he is now tied with Cam Newton for the most by a QB in his first 23 starts. Nice. I mean, that's a part of his game. And I feel like I don't know why we cherry pick stuff with not we, but I'm saying. A media pick certain topics to when it comes to Jalen Hurts. It's almost like it has to be perfect. Like it has to, every single aspect of the game with Hurts has to be perfect. If you look at the game, you know, there's going to be blemishes. Jalen Hurts came out there, threw a pick. Obviously he shouldn't have thrown it there. You know, you get a little upset at that. You'll see many of might have seen Dallas Goedert in the slot where he could have been a big play right there, but talk about progression. You see later on in the game, they run the same play in Dallas Goedert. He hits him open for a nice play, but the fact that he's learning from some of these mistakes, it is what it is. But look at the weather, look at the game, look at the W. We're 4-0. Like it's set it and forget it. They're move on to the next. Obviously the standard is the standard. And believe me, I believe they're working off of all these mistakes, and I just don't understand why Jalen Hurts gets all this. It's like I got to see one more game. I've also heard I got to see him beat the Cowboys. I'm like, bro, he's done some great things so far.
Get ready.
I'm gonna pitch this to you because these jokers are getting on my nerve with the hate on my youngin. I just I was arguing with a Detroit Lions fan. He was talking about, y'all barely beat us. I was like, we kicked y'all ass. I was like, y'all barely beat us. I was like, is that a column? And it's wins, losses, and ties. I was like, we kicked y'all ass. Y'all have an L in the loss column. I was like, when the dust settles, the kid knows how to go out there and win the game with whatever it takes. He makes good decisions. He's a good decision maker. Now, we could have your boy Carson here taking sack after sack after sack in the face, so to speak. Pause. But but no. But go ahead, Prime.
I thought you were going to stop after the second sack, but you just kept going.
Sorry. But go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, truth be told, I mean, you've been one to go ahead and dig in us that week after week after week, this man is just progressing. And it's the truth. I'm enjoying the ride just as much. I was one, you know, that question, things that he definitely needed to work on, and that's exactly what he did. And week after week after week, he's showing that. And he's going to keep on showing that. Yo, the profession shit, like, get that the fuck out of your heads. This man is not perfect. There ain't not one fucking quarterback in this league that is perfect. Tom Brady is the man. Don't get me wrong, but he was not perfect. He made mistakes.
He ain't no Joe Montana.
So Tom Brady's like, not Joe Montana. If they really expect this man to come in every week and make and be perfect at the games and go, you know, throw 100%, no, it's not gonna fucking happen. So please, like, let that shit go. He finds a way to win the game, and he's been showing that every week. And I'm one that's sitting on that couch or sitting at the stadium, you know, watching it and believing in it. And he's got me convinced. He's got me convinced that he could go ahead and do this. People are now asking, like, oh, he's got to beat Dallas. Well, you know what? Wait two fucking weeks, and I'm gonna tell you right now, he's gonna beat Dallas. All right, because he's he is getting his shit together, and he's got the weapons to do it. And I'm y'all need to start buying in because the man he's there. He's there.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know what else you can do, you know. Shout out to Conrad. He said, whoever made this bird schedule, it's like a whole reunion tour.
This is the reunion tour, right?
the Rager revenge game, the Wentz revenge game, Doug revenge game, Urch revenge game.
Peters. Listen, man. Rasul Douglas.
We got Deuce out the way. We got Rager out the way. We got Carson out the way. Dougie P out the way. Ertz is next. Jason Peters is after that. I mean, come on. We can keep on going.
Yeah.
shout out to Daryl. He said, don't call that man Darius. You're right. Looking at this schedule right here, and this is, just looking at the schedule as we look forward, I mean, the Eagles are favored in every single game as we move forward. It is what it is, man. You only play who you play. I just, at the end of the day, when these commentators come on and
who have they played?
They
haven't beat no good teams. It's like against and it's what, sorry, Gail, but I hear that same shit every time.
And you won't keep on hearing it.
Can you go get a band of your misfits together and bring their punk ass out there and be the NFL team? The other team is played too. And it's like, if you let a team come out in those first parts of the game, if you don't stomp them out and take their heart, then you have a fight on your hand. It's not as easy as people make it seem, even though the bad teams will put foot in your ass sideways to the next life. Ask Indianapolis last year what happened with Jacksonville, down in Jacksonville. And all they had to do was win to get in the playoffs. And Jacksonville had two victories to that point. If you think you can roll that fucking helmet out there trying to get a victory, you are sadly mistaken, sir. You will get your ass handed to you, and everybody will laugh at you. And I thought they were going to win. You thought the other team was going to lay down? They get paid. They get paid, and all this is on tape. So if you think you're going to go out there, it's more than a notion to go out there and win to get a victory in the NFL. Now, I don't know why people don't realize that. And they always talk about, you didn't beat a good team. I was like, well, is your team better than the team that's on the field? I mean, because I guarantee you, y'all can go through as many training camps as you want, and you'll never get there. I'm just saying. I'll be here all week.
Now, Charles said he is going down to AZ, but he said, we don't have a great record at AZ. Is this the juice breaker? No, I haven't been there. He says he's been there four times, and they lost every time. See, this is the jinx breaker, because we are all going to attend and see this W. This is going to be a great vacation for us.
Well, see,
five days of Eagles fandom.
My last two trips down there, I won.
Oh,
one right. with the Birds, and then when I was playing with Carolina, we went down there and stomped a mud hole in their ass, beat them like 48-20. Hey, and, you know, they gonna throw. Then we was watching the film. I was like, every time they throw a screenplay, they try to cut the defensive end. First play of the game, they tried to throw a screen to Larry Fitzgerald. They tried to cut Julius Peppers. He jumped over the cut block, picked it off, and was dancing 20 yards later in the end zone. And the onslaught began. We had a little two-headed monster I called him Bushwick Bill. D'Angelo, I think it's D'Angelo Williams Stewart. Last name was Stewart. We called him Carlton because he looked like Carlton, little kid from running back from Oregon. But we went and we stomped the butthole on them, dude. But those last two times, and I think we can't go down there and get a victory. It's gonna be, and I know it's gonna be weighing on the team's mind. And this is where Nick Sirianni comes in. He's a coach that's extremely competitive. And then this is like everybody's got the notion that we always lose in Arizona. This is how you build the confidence with your team, and you stop in trends. And you breaking records and curses. So this is one of those curses that you have to break. Like when I was playing with Andy, when Andy first got here, we needed to break the road curse. We won four or five games his first year here, but they were all at home. That we hadn't won a game on the road. Then we finally broke that curse. And then we broke the curse of winning in Arizona because we finally won in Arizona. Even though it was at the behest of Mike Caldwell, he cramped up. I mean, when I say cramped up, we had to get him. He had to get him an IV. The defensive coordinator for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He was playing linebacker at the time.
Now, I remember Mike playing with y'all, but I wanted to go ahead and hit you up personally and tell you all that shit that you were talking on the last show about, yo, be careful because we have old coaches that used to be on this squad. Man, they can all kiss my ass because we
I'm glad we beat their ass. I just wanted us to be careful. Because he was doing everything, all that stuff he was doing at the beginning. I'm glad that we were able to make adjustments.
Yeah.
And because he was coming on with the come on, and he had a young defense, but his young defense hadn't been up against a squad like ours before yet, so we were able to kick their ass.
Let's talk about no one's talking about the Hassan Reddick revenge. How about that? I'm ecstatic about
it. He's coming. It's getting put together, bro. I mean, this last game that he played, he showed his ass off, and that's what we've been waiting
and
for.
And who drafted him?
Yeah.
Who drafted him?
There you go.
Who drafted him?
Oh,
you know
AZ.
Who drafted him, don't you?
AZ.
Yeah. Yeah.
They wouldn't pay him.
Yeah.
He's stopped him to show them that they can play.
Now he's going to show them, exactly. So it's a perfect scenario this upcoming Sunday. Perfect scenario.
Now, Darlene in the comments says, I'm all in Prime after the game during his victory speeches. All I can think about is looking at those guys, looking at their QB and believing him and in him. It gives me goosebumps. There's a thing when you have a player has presence and doesn't really have to say much. You believe and you know that that player will you to some of these victories. And there's sometimes you have teams with like vocal leaders and you have some guys that just they know at the right time to say. You know, they'll give you the message at the right time at the right moment. It could be three or four or five words, but the emotion it just transcends, even off the field. So I think Hurts has really done a great job just being himself and doing what he does. He was on the – I don't know if I didn't get to catch it, but I did see that he was wearing the sweatshirt, that he's praying for all the haters out there.
Hating on him. I love that one, man. I love that one. Don't let me find that sweatshirt because I'm definitely going to rep that.
I'm going to find it.
Yeah, I'm gonna get the
alligator shoes and a hat to match.
Oh, no.
Shit. you got the gators.
Got the gators with the belt to match.
It's I was looking at the weather for the Arizona game. It's
92 degrees.
Right now they said 97 for Thursday.
Oh man, when we touch down. What a park here I come, baby.
Yeah, man, it's gonna be insane. I mean, now
I'm gonna do three extra push ups tomorrow. Oh, sorry.
Now, talking about who was your off people in the chat as well, who was your offensive MVP from the Eagles Jags game? Cool to you,
Miles Sanders, bro. I mean, Miles came and did his thing, he showed it. I mean, I've been saying it since the offseason. This man is going to go ahead and step up big this season. Yep. And this was the game that he definitely proved it. I mean, he had the most carries of his career, had the most yardages of his career. So, I mean, it was just time. Yep. And here it was at a perfect scenario with that rain. I mean, I set it out in the parking lot when we were at tailgating. Like,
I said it on last
week. The Jaguars don't got what we got, and that's Boobie Miles. Boobie Miles is probably going crazy right now, ready to play this game. And look what happened, man. Look at the outcome. The man
he's covering me up. He's got Boobie Miles is covering me
he
up.
He did his thing, man. He did his thing, bro. So Boobie Miles definitely is the player, the offensive player for me.
Now, okay. If you can remove there you
go.
Who picked Miles? You don't even remember. No, I picked Miles as an offensive
MVP. You got it.
I'm going to give you the reason why. Remember we were talking, and I said that they were number one versus run with 55 yards. They're trying to make us one dimensional. He needs to get off, and he did. And I said he was going to get off and handle business. He needed to be the offensive MVP, and he was. That was the best downhill running I've seen him do. And hopefully That get builds confidence in him to continue to do that. So put motherfuckers on notice that you're gonna get a healthy dose of Miles Sanders, baby, and not another East to West crap.
Another problem. Another problem for the upcoming defense.
Exactly.
Another problem.
Yeah, I'm gonna give a hat tip to Miles Sanders. The way that he was running the football, it's been inspired. You look at the Detroit game; he's been stacking really solid games. There's a couple plays. Some of the plays that he broke open were great to see. But there was just one run for me that it was just a generic run. But the patience that he was showing as he working each offensive lineman, and then he found this like little crease and got about 7 yards. To me, I was like, this man is showing patience.
Yeah.
Leg drive. He's looking healthy out there. And at this moment, he's the third running back in rushing. Followed, he's just behind Saquon Barkley, his former teammate, who's Nick Chubb as well. So,
Nick Chubb gets a thousand. How many touchdowns he's got? He's got three touchdowns. Two on Sunday, and the first one on the very first game of the season. He's at three.
So talking about his production from last year, he's almost doubled his production from last year.
Yeah,
12 games.
What you guys can look at is you said it, the patience. They look at it, finding that little crease and getting downhill. It's like he wasn't like when he wasn't showing patience, he's running east to west, which makes it easy for the guys up front to tackle him because you're running sideways. When you get downhill, it's hard as hell to catch somebody, and I'm running sideways trying to catch you, and you didn't already pass where I'm going. So I think hopefully he's got that now.
Oh, he's got it down pat, man, and he's only going to get better as weeks go on.
Some honorable mentions in the chat for Jack
Driscoll. Yeah, Jack Driscoll definitely played his part, man, coming in. You know what I mean?
That's my guy.
Went down, and he did his thing. He held the line. Look, there were some plays that the defense got through. But look, again, we're not talking about perfection. We don't have no perfection on this team.
Right.
But the fact that you go ahead and do the ratio, it was more better plays than negative plays. Yeah. So, I'll take that all day. So he did his thing. So shout out to Jack Driscoll as well.
Shout out to Jack. The one thing that you pick back what our prime said was a lot of times we want our players to win every snap. You just have to win most of the snaps. You know, you have to win most of them and be consistently winning most of them. Like everybody should be surprised when you lose a snap. And just the thing that I loved about when Jack came on, he didn't have any mental errors. And like the one thing that I think sticks in a coach's craw is when you mess up mentally, when you don't do the play right or don't block who you're supposed to or don't hit the right gap. It messes up the whole offense or defense. So that was hats off to him actually not making the mental error and not expecting to play. Because in that on offensive line, you don't be expecting to play. You be over there chilling. The sunflower seeds. Like, yeah, give me – you be messing with the equipment measures. Hey, let me get a couple of them hot dogs. They be like, Tank!
Now Brian wants to show love to some of the receivers blocking downfield. Ain't no joke either. Yeah. A.J. Brown, he likes to he likes to tussle out there, and look at skinny Batman out there,
Smith. They do be handling business, man.
They're very excited. You saw that run that Miles Sanders got in there. You know how excited it's rare. It's kind of rare to see wide receivers excited for because they want to be scoring touchdowns out there. But Devontae Smith out there very excited about Miles Sanders scoring a touchdown.
But you know what? The one thing that I've learned and one good blocker, he told me. He's like, if you come out there ready to block somebody all the time, when you run your routes, it's going to be easy. Because they're not going to want none of that heat. They're hoping for a pass. I was like, but when you come out there, you put them hands on them. Try Jesus, but please don't try me because I throw hands.
Shout out to Alexis. he says, my guy Dallas dropped the layup. He did. He dropped the layup on that one play. But if we're going to be positive here, he's been he's been phenomenal. He's been every bit.
He came back with a nice touchdown play.
He's been solid. I think the way they utilize Dallas Goedert in the screen game has been it's very effective, especially when he's trying to he shows the blocking and then he flashes out into the flats or whatever. But last year he was fifth in the NFL last season with 10.9 yards per target through four games. He's averaging 12 yards per target, which puts him fifth in the NFL. And he remains one of the most efficient players in the NFL when the ball comes his way. Hat tip to Kemsky for that stat right there. But, you know, just overall, he's coming to his own as a player, and that's what you'd like to see. Now, moving towards defensive side of things, you know a lot about that, Hollis. Who's your defensive MVP versus today?
I'll let Prime go first because I already know who I want.
I'm gonna go with the hometown kid, man. Hassan Reddick did his thing, bro. I mean, yep. This was the game that we've been waiting for, and it finally came in. I mean, he was the MVP from the beginning of the game, during the game, after the game. I mean, his interview at the end of the game, at the end of the whatchamacallit, he broke it down and he told him straight up, like. You know, I mean, he had the best comeback for everything that those reporters were trying to throw at him. So, I mean, the man was – he was lit up. He was lit up on Sunday, and he showed it on the field. And then the fact that, you know, I mean, going off of that game, going into this game, this upcoming Sunday, playing for – you know, playing against a team that gave up on you, yo, God only knows what he's going to show. So, I'm looking forward to that just as well. So, that's my defensive MVP.
No, it's mine too, man. That was mine too, man.
Okay.
That's why I let him go first, because normally he'll let somebody go first. Be like, damn, I knew I should have went. So I let him go first.
I appreciate that. Thank you, man. Thank you.
He had to pick a litter because it's like that's you can't ask him more than what he did. He came out there and the one thing that I do know too is you can see the frustration on his face in the previous games because you're misusing the guy. You're misusing an athletic talent. You need to move him around. And have him rush the passer. Occasionally, you drop him in the coverage to trick some people after he's wreaked havoc. It's like, and then he gets some picks for you and stuff. But you use him to the best of his ability. And his best ability is get to the passer. So I commend Vic Fangio for doing it. I mean, Jonathan Gannon.
It's going to be a trifecta here. We're going to sign Reddick. The man, he's first time since 2005, I think, was Jared Allen, that a defensive player has had two sacks and a forced fumble in the same game. So hat tip to Hassan. The fact that he's doing it in his home stadium, he mentioned there's nothing like winning at the link. This guy went to Temple. He's every bit of hard work from where he's come from and making it to the NFL and then becoming that dude. Talk about pressures. I mean, this guy's – he's been putting a lot of pressure and getting a lot of sacks over the last probably 5 years. He's top five in getting to the quarterback. It's something that Hassan Reddick kind of gets left out of a lot of these conversations. But I think
they hadn't been using him good.
Yeah. Well, here he is doing it in front of his hometown. It's got to be a beautiful thing.
Yeah, especially when your hometown live and die. Live and die by the birds. That's a diehard Philadelphia Eagle Nation.
And I saw a comment from DC Darryl. Shout out to DC Darryl. Honorable mention, TJ Edwards. Yo, Edwards has been flying around. They talk about the weight loss that he lost some weight over the season. The way that he's flying around,
you can tell
to me. Yeah, dude. There's a couple plays there out there. I'm like, dude.
Whether if it was 5 pounds, 10 pounds, I mean, he's looking lighter on his feet. So he's definitely moving around and he's playing that defense very well. So, I mean, he stepped this game up this year for sure.
Now, somebody said Bradberry should be the defensive MVP.
I mean, look, he had a key interception, but you know, there was just a whole lot more that was going on from other players, and Hassan was one. So, you know, I mean, I'm not taking nothing away from the interception. It was a key interception, but, you know, I mean, I'm going to stick to my defensive player.
Honestly, I love the way when Hassan talks in the Philly accent. It makes it makes it better.
It makes it that much more better.
Makes it a little bit better. Shout out to Bob. He says, hey, how was Alex's pulled pork at the tailgate? Shout out to Alex.
Yeah,
came down there with Alex, his dad. And they set up in the freezing
rain.
I might say it was freezing, but
it was chilly. It was colder than we were used to.
Yeah.
But it was like it kind of went from 90 to 50 real quick. Like, damn, well, What part of the game is this?
Absolutely.
But that was the one thing I was to sell. Like, you know, usually if someone's it's their first time at tailgate, just make sure that they know what's going on and that they're welcomed and to, you know, have a good time and everything. But I was just like, I know it's cold out here, but, you know, there's beer over there, you know, and go check my man Alex over there. He's the pulled pork is ready because that pulled pork was amazing.
Yeah, man. The sauce that he had to go with that pulled pork was amazing as well, man. So, I mean, that definitely made the sandwich. But, I mean, we had our, you know, Evan had his cheesesteaks going. And I'm not going, you know, I made it very clear to Alex, like, yo, your pulled pork is good, but it ain't going to overcome this cheesesteak that I'm about to have. And I tore that shit up. But then, you know, I mean, as I'm waiting for my cheesesteak, I was giving love to Alex. And I was like, yo, let me get one of those pulled pork sandwiches. And, bro, that thing.
So, basically, what you're telling me, Prob, is you went over there and ate all the grub. And went home and snuggled up and fell asleep.
I did exactly. I didn't fall asleep. I fell asleep after the game, but yes, I did exactly that, man. I did an eat and run. I definitely did an eat and run.
Now, if you want to follow Alex, his on Instagram or Twitter, his ad is at one the juggernaut.
The juggernaut.
That man can throw down in the cage.
I'm the juggernaut, bitch.
So I mean, we're about to embark on a trip. In 2 days, we'll be leaving on Thursday to Arizona.
Damn, Skippy.
How excited are you about this trip?
Oh, me? Yeah. I'm pretty stoked, you know. You're going to high weather, three-story water slide, 2.5-acre water park.
Damn. You going on the water slide?
Yeah. I'm going to watch people scream. I'm going to be in a water park, though.
I might just do that. If this thing's legit, I'm in there, bro. I love
it. I might do the water slide because it's FCC approved and stuff. You know? I had to check the safety grade on it.
Mr. Ocean Man over here.
I don't want anybody to get hurt on that slide.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to this trip, looking forward to the hot weather once again for a little bit. You know, going to catch up with some family. Shout out to Tim. You know, he's waiting for us to get over there so he can join us and everything. But I mean, we got to keep this thing going, man. And people, there were some mentions earlier that, you know, things have been going well because the 4th and John boys are there and Tank along with us. So, I mean, like, yeah, we just got to keep this thing going. We got to keep on showing up at these games, repping like we've been doing. And look at the outcome. So that's the excitement right there.
I'm a little torn because, like, there's, you know, our road trips might be ending.
Hey, man, that's all right. I mean,
so, listen. But I'm thinking, like, do we have to change up things? My girl's brother's getting married, and I'm like, I would like to go to Indy. I like to keep this up. I thought, you know, things can't change for me. Like, you have to keep on doing the same thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Wear the same drawers. Don't wash them.
No, you lost me.
That is a joke, my friend. That is a joke.
I hope so. I hope so. I don't want to find out. I'm just saying. That was awesome.
It is.
Fish anyone?
Hey, but I also want to give send love to Mal.
Mal!
And Allison out there. You know, they are being parents out there, parenting the best way they know how. As a new dad.
Baby's only a couple weeks old.
It's a big change, bro. It's a big change, man.
Just don't fuck it up.
Nah, not at all. I mean, I think he's going to be just fine. But I mean, I know what he's going through. So, you know, I mean, it's a big change. It's a big change in your life. But I wish him and the wifey nothing but, you know, many blessings. They going to be just fine. I mean, they got to enjoy this thing and just, you know, go along for the ride because it's going to just get wild.
As both of you guys were when you guys were new fathers, what was it like changing diapers? Was that the kind of thing that you had to learn? Or you went ahead?
It definitely wasn't the diaper changing, man. It is what it is. I mean, like, you know, that's part of the parenthood, but it was just getting used to the screaming, getting up at night, you know what I mean, in the middle.
You know what? That Prime, I'm with you for the most part on that. You know what it was? When they got to their toddler's age and you was laying down, you sleep, it's about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden you turn over towards the floor, and it's just somebody sitting there like...
Yo, that's what I go through now. These two knuckleheads upstairs, especially my daughter, man. It's like she's got it clockwork every day, every night, every night in the morning, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, she's tapping on me. You know what I mean? It's just to the
can
point
I sleep
where
with you?
In the very beginning, in the very beginning, I would get up like, baby, you okay? Now you should see Miguel. I grab her and I throw her onto the damn bed and I go back to sleep. Like that's that's at the point where I'm at right now with my daughter.
Can I sleep with you? Can I sleep with you? How can you just get in the bed? It's like they wake you up and then like like when they get you're gonna go through some times when they're not gonna be feeling at their finest, and that's probably the worst because you feel bad, and then you feel worse because you hope that they made it to the bathroom, but most of the time they're not.
Yeah, it's a lot, man. It's a lot. Yeah, and don't go off of our experience. Just try to experience your own, man.
Just, yeah, it's gonna be like that. No, I'm just saying.
You gotta try to experience your own, bro.
Our family cat is looking at me like, you want to change this litter over here, dog? As soon as this episode's over. But shout out to Mark. You always see him in the chat around here. The resident Oregonian Eagle fan.
Looking forward to
This is his first time we're going to meet Mark out on the road. He said he can't wait to finally meet the 4th and John crew in AZ. This is really what it's about, like getting out here, enjoying some moments, birds, and having a good time.
Now you guys will get to meet both of my brothers. I don't know if you met Pops. I think you guys meet Pops and my sister Maxine.
We met him at the Washington game yesterday.
Well, my other brother lives in Arizona. Him and Nugget Bunk and Brayson Brighton and Brayton.
Jeez, older, younger.
I'm the oldest of five, but he's got three little cats that that's gonna swing by. It's probably gonna tear up everything in sight, but you'll get to see them. They'll be down there kicking.
The Jermaine Jackson of the Jackson Five.
I see Pete's gonna be there too, man. He had a question earlier in the comments asking if he was gonna bring his daughter and everything. I mean, bro, at the end of the day, I can't tell you what a tailgate is like in Arizona. Yeah. I know I wouldn't recommend. At least at this time of the year going forward at our tailgates because the weather's cold. But if it's like in the very beginning of the season, yeah, I would tell you to go ahead and bring the baby. You know what I mean? It's all good. We've had many kids. I've even had my own kids there. But I don't know what it's like in Arizona. So I can't really comment on that. But I just want to be the one to tell you, though, Pete, when I do meet you in Arizona this weekend, keep your out of ass stats to yourself, man, because I've been seeing some comments over here lately. Yeah, make sure you keep those out of ass stats to yourself.
Said Kyler Murray's been hot in the second half.
Stop.
We were not losing to no appetizer. So, Kyler Murray.
So has Geno Smith. No.
Speaking of Seattle, shout out to Anthony. He said he will see y'all on Friday through Saturday. He's coming
in. What's up, man? Looking Seattle. Forward to seeing a lot of new faces this upcoming weekend. I know y'all been waiting patiently like we are, so it's going to be fun, man.
Now we'll start with Tank. Last word before we get out of here.
Last word. I'm thoroughly enjoying this Eagles season that's currently upon us. I don't think I've enjoyed it on this side as much as I am now since the year we won the Super Bowl. I just want to keep this going. Just keep it going. Go down there and Anthony missed me at the Vikings game. Catch me at the Philly Sports Bar now. That's down there. You know we got a sports bar in pretty much every city.
That's crazy. You'd be surprised.
But I just want to thank everybody for showing support and stuff. And thank you guys for welcoming me in. And let's just keep this thing rolling.
Primo.
Yeah, man. I mean, Tank said it. You know the best. I mean, let's just keep riding this train. I mean, it's fun. We're having a good time as fans. You know. Watching these guys play probably one of the best footballs we've seen in years, man. So I'm looking forward to catching up with a lot of the new faces in Arizona. I know you guys have been dedicated followers and big supporters, and, you know, we're finally going to go ahead and have the privilege to meet you guys this upcoming weekend. So looking forward to that. It's all about having fun and, you know what I mean, being in that building, representing the Birds like we've been all season so far. So, you know what I mean? Go Birds. Let's do this.
Go Birds.
Yeah, the Eagles have had a tremendous 4 weeks. I think at the end of the day, you have to be proud of what they've done so far. We all know that they haven't played their best. They will be doubted by media. I know some media are piggybacking off of some of their bad takes in the offseason, some of their QB takes. At the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. It's really what goes on in the locker room, what they believe in. That's Jalen Hurts, who leads the ship. I think right now they're riding off really good vibes. They still haven't put a solid game together, like four quarters.
Complete game.
You know, so and they've been tremendous. They're 4-0. So I'm feeling good about our birds. I'm feeling good about this AZ trip. Shout out to Ev working hard, and shout out to Mal. But we'll see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.
Go, bird.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.